John, would you pray for me before we get started?
Yes. Lord God, I lift up Pastor Mike here. Lord, imbue him a full measure of your spirit for this message. Give him clarity, focus, and understanding in the revealing of your word through this vessel, Lord. Give him courage, strength, and your presence, Lord. May the words and meditation of his heart be upon you. Use him fully and direct his path in this message, Lord. Be with him now, Lord. We praise you all for your glory, always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, brother.
I love you.
I'm going to put this right over there. Good morning. Before I get into this, I just want you to know that next week we have our missionaries, Jason and Rebecca Witt, coming in from Kenya, and they're going to spend a little time with us. They're going to be doing the service next week. This would be a good opportunity to bring somebody to hear what this church is doing abroad, not just there, but in other places. We're going to also take up an offering for them at this time, so just come prepared for that, all right? Next thing that's just been stirring in me over the last, probably last month, but it really amped up last week. And I know there's people that speak a lot about there's something going on in the atmosphere. And I really didn't pay a lot of attention to that, but I feel like there's something going on in the atmosphere. There is something happening. And it's not just good, and it's not just evil. There is just stuff happening. It's like, does anybody, just raise your hand if you feel and sense some of that too. All right. I really do. And I am sensitive to those things when they hit me right between the eyes, right? Really a deep processor here, but it hits me right between the eyes. I say, duh, that's what's going on. I want to encourage you to start coming on Monday nights. Right? Typically in any church, for those who don't go, the most boring place in the world for them and their vision is to come to a prayer meeting. Very honestly. Why? Because prayer is work. But we're in a day that we have to step up as a church body in prayer. So what I'd like to do is just encourage you to start coming once a month. They meet every Monday. But start out, it's like tithing. Give a little bit, see what God does. Give a little bit more, see if he still does it. Give some more because he's been doing it. And we learn how to give the way we're supposed to give. I'm going to say the same thing about prayer. Test him in this, that if you come here, if he doesn't begin to change things that are happening in the spirit realm around you. But our church, I believe, needs to take this step. This is the next step for our church. Without prayer, nothing really happens. Good wishes and hope don't get it done at the level that I believe that this church is called to. We are called to great things, I believe. But this is where it begins. This is where the work is. And nobody's going to embarrass anybody, but it is a solemn, deep time in calling on the name of Jesus for help. Okay? That's the challenge for all of us. And my goal for me, I'm going to start out at once, twice a month when I can. And then we'll see what happens from there. All right. Look at this. We're all good to go. I got glasses. We're not reading the scripture today because I'm going to cover every one of them very specifically, I think, as we go through this scripture. So we'll get it there. The title of the message is Grow Spiritually to Be Influencers Naturally. It's a deep statement. This influencing thing is kind of a hot topic, I think, in society today. In our culture, to be an influencer means lots of different things. And lots of different people are engaged in the process of influencing. I first learned about influences when I came across people that just had some kind of a way to move me from one place to another. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. To be an influencer is neither good nor bad, depending on how it's used. It can be either. But I remember people would speak to me and I would perk up. I would be drawn in to everything they said, and they could manipulate me, influence me, or encourage me. And sometimes it wasn't to the the best things. But they just had that sway, that power, that thing that would just draw me in. In the church, God uses people to influence for his glory and for his honor. But this influencing thing is kind of a big deal. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember your parents telling you that kid is a bad influence on you? How many have heard that? I used to hear it all the time. And something deep within my evil soul made me want to go to those people that were not good for me. You all know what I'm saying. All right. God uses us today as believers to be influences to the glory of God. Sports uses influence all the time. I played a lot of baseball growing up, and in baseball, one of my favorite dynamics is the dynamic between a pitcher and a hitter. So the objective of the pitcher is to throw balls in such a fashion that the hitter can't hit it, yet to not be so wild and crazy that it doesn't come into the strike zone where it can still have the impact, the desired impact, which is to get a hitter out. And the desire of the hitter is to stay on balance and pick the right pitch that they could drive it and help their team. And it's a fun dynamic that takes place in baseball. As we've watched the World Series over the last several years, I've enjoyed watching it with Sally because Sally has learned that pitchers do certain things that make it very difficult for hitters to hit. First off, they throw the ball 100 miles an hour, which is just unbelievable. And just when the guy's got his timing fixed in at 100 miles an hour, they throw something that looks like about 86 miles an hour. And the guy swings, and then the ball goes by. It's kind of like a Bugs Bunny cartoon for those of you who remember Bugs Bunny. And there's this dance that they do, trying to figure out who's going to win this battle. Football does it all the time. Everything about football is misdirection. When the guards start to pull, because typically a running back is going to follow behind him, and they're going to get yards in the play, and the pitcher does, or the quarterback does this, takes the ball, and goes the other way. He influenced the offensive line, influenced the defense to go a certain way, and he goes the other way. You and I are called to be this, influencers, but not to send people the wrong way for the glory of God. All right, so I'm going to just give you just a few things on this as I see it in the scripture. All right. In 2 Peter 1a, it begins with Simon Peter. There's a message right there, Simon Peter. Why does this guy have two names? I have a couple names, but one's a middle name, and I'm just Michael. My middle name is Davis. My confirmation name is Paul. And my last name is LeClaire. So I got all these different names. But Simon Peter's name is pretty special. Simon means to hear or be heard. That's pretty powerful. This guy is going to be an apostle. Actually, as he's speaking, he is an apostle, which means he speaks to be heard. And he hears. Who does he hear from? Hopefully he hears from the Holy Spirit. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. A bondservant. It's, you know what a servant is? Somebody who serves another person. It's like a slave who goes and serves their master. Here's what he is in the eyes of God and towards his God. He is a bondservant, but he's also an apostle. What is an apostle? An apostle is a sent one, one who goes out to do what? To be heard. For what purpose? For the glory of God, to speak of who God is. And in the case of the New Testament, to speak of who Christ is, who the Messiah is. So he goes out as an apostle to strange, unreached lands to speak. We're going to have a missionary here next week. Jason Witt operates in the apostolic because he is a sent one from this country to Kenya to speak the truth of God to people who are unreached. And in his particular reason, about 100,000 people are in their region, and 100,000 people are primarily Somali Muslims. So he is stepping in this place to be heard. That's what Peter is. That's what Peter does. So he gets both these names that speak to the reality of who he is. But when we're talking about influencers, we can't talk about influencers without mentioning Christ Jesus, the greatest influencer. And here's how he began. He begins with an inner circle of three guys, Peter, James, and John. Did I get that right? Okay, just gonna make sure. And he pours into these three at a different kind of level. And then there's eight others. They're disciples, which are students, they're learners. And the other eight, he begins to pour into them. What's he pouring into them? The truth of who he is, the truth of who the Father is, the truth of God. And he begins to instill them and put this into them so that they have this understanding of something so much greater than them. You know, it took them 3 years to do it. It took them 3 years of ministering, showing signs and wonders that they would know for sure who he is, speaking into their life teachings that blew their minds because they were so deep and so rich. But it took them 3 years for them to get it. And at the end of the 3 years, they didn't fully have it. They latently had it. In other words, it was in them, and it was going to explode when the Holy Spirit comes upon them at Pentecost. But it's in them. That's what we as parents ought to do with our children, right? Pour into them, feed them. Why? That someday they would be an influence for the glory of God. Because it's someday that kid that might be driving you nuts on a regular basis, wrestling with you on every question or every direction you give him, is going to be a warrior for Christ. And we believe that by faith. What about this Paul? 3 years for Paul. Galatians 1:11. But make it known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. But how did Paul get to this place? For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. When did that first happen? On the road to where? Okay. I almost said Emmaus, and I didn't want to look like a fool. So on the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with the living God, with Christ, who he had been persecuting. Knocks him off the donkey. He's on the ground. He can't see. And then he hears the words, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And he knows he is in deep stuff because he's having an encounter with the living God. He knows it's quickened in him. That begins the journey of the next 3 years. The Bible says in Acts, and it says in Galatians, that he goes off to Arabia. And in Arabia for 3 years, he's not learning from man. He's not learning from the religious leaders. He is learning from Christ himself by his Spirit, I believe. 3 years. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Galatians 1:16 says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. He's already got direction. He just got knocked off a horse. Now he's getting direction from God. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, he said, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. The place where he fell off the horse, or the road to the place where he fell off the horse. And then it says in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him for 15 days. So it took him 3 years as well to learn more of the fullness of God, because God had a mission for him. He had a purpose for him. And they were not his purposes. They were God's purposes through him. I want you to think for yourself. If you had an encounter with Christ where he has given you direction, where he has given you information, where he has given you a filling, where he's giving you gifts for his glory, where he's sent you out. Has anybody here had that? Have you ever had those kinds of things? My word to you is then you better get going. And my words to the rest are, why not? What relationship do you have with God? He doesn't want you to be like the fig tree that bared no fruit. No, he wants you for a purpose. One is that he desperately loves you with a love that we can't really even comprehend. That's one. But two, he loves us for the purpose. And the purpose is what satisfies and it's what sustains us when we get engaged in the purpose. Okay, so I throw a challenge out to you to start once a month coming to prayer meeting. Right now, there's anywhere between 20 and 30 on any given Monday night. That's a lot. Churches with, 2,000 people don't get prayer meetings really that go 30 people, to be really honest with you. And that's okay for them. But God is, like I said, he is doing something here in this church. And it won't happen without prayer. So what call has he put on you? I'm giving you one right now. He's talking through me. It's not my... I believe he's calling our church to this. He's calling me to this. All right, so just know that. But what other things has God called you to where you've had to step by faith? And has he poured into you? Has he equipped you with giftings and abilities and talents to go do the things he's calling you to do? Why do we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Actually, when you're saved, when you receive Jesus, you are filled with his Spirit. At salvation, your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. But then there is the baptism of the Spirit, which is unto works. It is the power of God to send you to go do the things he's called you to do. And sometimes it's great distances like Kenya. Sometimes it's the person sitting next to you in school. Sometimes it's the person in the cubicle next to you at work to talk to them, to share what he has for them. I believe it's next week. If I'm wrong, you can check the calendar and figure it out, but I think Pentecost Sunday is next week, if I'm not mistaken. You don't know, do you? Oh, computer's going right now 100 miles an hour. I can just see it working. Pentecost, what was Pentecost? It was God pouring out his Spirit, baptizing people in his Spirit, if you will, for his glory and his purposes, that they would go. And they were actually told not to go until this happened. Sounds like we might have a Holy Spirit message today. God is amazing. He doesn't send us out before we're equipped. There are people who go out on their own strength and try to accomplish great things. That usually doesn't go very well. I have people talking about sharing the love of Christ from precarious positions, living in deep sin themselves, and they're sharing about Jesus. On one hand, I'm grateful that somebody is hearing the name of Jesus. On the other hand, they're in a dangerous place because they're speaking about who Christ is, and they're not equipped to bring it to him. We can all talk about who Jesus is, and we should, but there's another level where he's bringing you to that person or that place or that time for the glory of God. And he will pour into you if you allow him. It's not just with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter 1:2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." His aim is to begin to pour into you and me the knowledge of who he is. When we realize who Christ is, who Jesus is, at the deeper level, we will bow before him because we now know. He is all that he said he was and so much more because our language skills can't absorb the fullness of who he is. He is God, omnipresent, omnipotent, which means all powerful, omniscient, which means all knowing. That's our God. And for some of the predicaments that we get ourselves into, I need a God like that in my life. I can't fix anything on my own. By the way, Dave, I just want you to know I did get the truck fixed that you told me it was everything you said and then more. So thank you. I couldn't fix it. Verse 3 says, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue." Whoa! He is pouring this into us that we give back to the glory of God and by the virtue that he's put in us. When you reach out to that person, are those elements in you? And if you don't reach out to him, I suppose you can skate by at some level, having no impact on anyone. But we're called to be a church. We're called to be a people who have impact and influence on others. Now, we're a church that believes in helping everybody right where they're at, meeting everybody right where they're at for the glory of God. That's the job of the church. But in the end, there's a purpose to send. And like I said, send near, send far, send. To do, to be active, to not be clipped off and to be a fig tree that's been cut down because, you know, we're useless. That's not God's plan for us. It's got great plans for us, big plans for us. And it's to our benefit to be a part of it. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him. Do you know him or do you know of him? Do you know him deeper than you used to know him? You got people that went to Sunday school as a kid or catechism or whatever it was they went to, so they know him. Well, they know of him. But did they make a commitment to him where they invited him in and they had an encounter with him? And we begin to know him deeper. Do they ingest God's word and put it into them that they begin to know him by his word? The Bible says that he is the living word. The living word, he's alive. He is the word that was made flesh. This is how we come to know him. We can read great books, and I do, and we should. But to know him is to know him by his word. Life groups is a big deal because we're focused for 40 minutes on a given night in his word. And then we're focused for another 40 minutes with each other having a good time. Eating food, that's what we do as Christians. We eat food. We eat junk food. We eat good food. We eat lots of food. And that's nice, but we do it together. And that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter 1:4. By which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, there's a lot packaged right there. Partakers of his divine nature. When you invite him in and we begin to grow in him, we're growing in the nature of God. We become sons and daughters. That's not a light statement. And there's an expectation with sons and daughters of God. He's raising us up by his word. Think of your own children, how your heart's desire is to raise them up the right way. And it's a tough job to raise kids up the right way. But he raises them up for his glorious purpose, which is to their glorious benefit. That's our God. That's our God. You'll see where this is going in just a bit here. Galatians 4:5, it says, for what purpose? To redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive adoption as sons. Those who are under the law, this is Paul, this is Peter speaking to the Galatians, or Paul speaking to the Galatians, but it's Peter's heart was to the Jew, Paul's was to the Gentile. God's got it all covered. Who's to be reached? Everybody. Jews and Gentiles alike. Who are the Gentiles? Anybody who is not a Jew. Who are the Jews? Well, they're a nation of people, God's chosen people that he chose to work his redemptive plan through. That's the Jews. But there's the spiritual Jew and the physical Jew. There was one who was born into Judaism, and they need Christ right now. Then there's the spiritual Jew who has grasped onto the fullness of the Messiah. When we come to Christ spiritually, you've heard us talk about this a lot. We become spiritually Israel, spiritual Jews. Jesus' name. And then there's purpose. Psalm 138:2 says, I will worship towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In there somewhere, we are to magnify his word. We are to magnify his name and glorify it. This is a hard message because it's a get busy message, to be really honest with you, and it's purposeful. Third thing, we add to our faith. We've talked about this a lot in this church, that God gives us all a measure of faith. It says that in the book of Romans. Everybody's given a measure of faith. And he's saying here that we are to add to it. A little bit of faith is great. Salvation comes with a little bit of faith. But we're to grow in the faith and in the knowledge of the Lord. We're to grow our faith. We're to have great faith. Sitting in this room is a step in that direction, I believe. So verse 5 says this, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Okay, add virtue to your faith. To virtue, knowledge. Add knowledge to your virtue. To knowledge, self-control. Oh, now the Word of God is meddling with us. They're telling us how to act. But this is significant. To self-control, perseverance. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on the call. You heard him one time when you were younger, probably in high school at a youth retreat, and you were weeping at the altar, and you know God spoke to you, and you haven't been back with him since. No, when we come to Christ, when we raise our hand, we had a few last week, raise your hand to receive Jesus. When we come to that place, it is unto a purpose. We are to grow in him and know him. And the best way to start growing in him is by his word, and then getting busy loving on other people, helping them come to know who Jesus is, reaching out, ministering to them, helping to meet their needs. This is the love of God that we don't always talk about. We expect everybody to know it, but nobody seems to know it. So if you're word fat, in other words, you just chew on the word all day long and nothing comes out of you, maybe it's kind of like manna with the Egyptians, that it turns to worms after a certain point. Get busy and use what you know. Go out and do. Go out and serve. Go out and love. Go out and reach people for his glory. This church is about that. And we're supposed to be about it. And we're supposed to be about it even more than what we are right now. This is what the church is called to. Our church, the greater church. Go. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it with him. Verse 8 says, for these things, these attributes are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow to know him so that you are fruitful, not unfruitful. Be fruitful because you know what his word says. And when you know what his word says, you know who he is. And when you know who he is, it prompts us to go and affect change, to impact, to influence, to impact. Oh. I'm going on vacation this week, so I won't probably forget about most of this by tomorrow, but I'm just like everybody else, right? No. I'm gonna be growing on my vacation. Because he's stirring me, not because I'm anything great, because he who is in me is great, and he's stirring me to greater things. If you come to a place where the Spirit of God is so alive that it's moved on people, it will stir you. And when you see people come to him, it will move you. If you go on a Thursday night and you watch the transformations that are taking place, it will stir you to good things. It's exciting what he's doing. If you go into life groups and somebody who refused to ever share is now speaking volumes, they sound like a commentator themselves because they fell in love with God's word. It will move you. If you see the heart of somebody that goes up every other Friday night to go do somebody's laundry, pay their way and stuff a brat down their throat, tell them Jesus loves them, it will move you when you know of these things going on in the church. It's so exciting. People come up, we believe God's calling us to this place or that place. You better get going. Well, I think we're supposed to do this. Yeah, I think you are to do this. What does this usually mean? Make sure you're growing in his word. Make sure you're talking to him regularly, not just individually, but corporately. Make sure you're engaged in this. You're going to see it next week. You're going to see a guy who threw the old man away, took on the new man, and stepped into the calling that God gave him. And we support him, and we get to be a part of what he's doing. It's exciting. We got a thing happening this summer where pastors around the area are called to be at Life Fest to help with people who come to Christ, and they're expecting big things to happen with people coming to Christ. That's a big deal. That's an exciting thing. We're going to get to be a part of getting involved in the work of God. Thank you, Jesus. You will have influence to have impact. Influence is nice. Influence in and of itself is neither good or bad. But when directed rightly, it leads to impact. Impact leads to affecting change in the life of another person. We're called to affect change. It's part of our mission. It's part of our vision. Affecting change for the glory of God. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election, which is your salvation. For you to do these things, you never will stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fourth thing, we're equipped for endurance in our faith. Talked about having faith and falling away, but we are called to be steadfast and growing in our faith. Now, some people remember the date and the minute they got saved. I only remember the place and the emotion of getting saved. I couldn't even tell you the season. But the impact on me went right to my heart. And the first act after it came to my heart was surrender. I came to him. The next act after that was to go to Pastor Jerry and say, I think I'm supposed to work with teenagers. Pastor Jerry, said, oh, that's great. We have a lock-in tonight. Why don't you move some tables and chairs? He was just probably disgusted with all the other people that failed him, and he was doing it by himself for a lot of years. I don't know exactly. The story gets bigger and bigger every time he tells me. And then it grows from there, and it grows from there, it grows from there. And it's still growing. Believe me, this train hasn't arrived at any station yet. It's still on the tracks, and I'm still growing. I just happen to like growing with you all as much as telling you all. For this reason, verse 12, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right. As long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, our bodies, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. In other words, our time here is short. And right now we live in these tents, these temples of God, these small little temples, these bodies made of flesh and bone. Our time is short here. Funerals continue to happen. They're happening all the time. Our staff does funerals all the time because people die. They leave their tent. But we are to have an impact, a lasting impact, when we leave. And when we leave, we go to the place we all want to be, which is at the feet of Jesus, where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I used to think that that statement was really left alone for Jesus. And as I began to think about it more, yes, that statement is for Jesus. But when he dwells in me, I get to carry as a vessel. The Jesus that lives in me receives the reward. We talk about this at funerals too. And what do? We fashion a crown just like the elders did. And we lay them at the feet of Jesus because every good and perfect gift came from him in the first place. And what's the glory? I get to be there. I get to know him in a different way. Jesus. But it's going to happen to all of us. What have we left behind? What have your children taken from you in the sense of faith? What have they taken from you to replicate you, to speak life to others so that this becomes a generational thing? A generational thing where all of a sudden our kids and our grandkids are now having impact on the lives of the people that they come in contact with because I didn't get lazy and I stuck it out. Because I was made for endurance. My body wasn't, but my spirit is. It was made for the long haul. My body, until it drops, I will serve him. But the long haul after is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when we get to the last ever, we just started. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun. That's actually a song, and I spared you singing it. Verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. This is Paul, or Peter, speaking. After I'm gone, that you're reminded of these things. Why? So you can use these things, follow through on these things, continue the work that Christ began with the inner three, and then with the next eight, and then with Paul. The work that he began, that it continues on and on and on. So it said at the beginning that Jesus truly is the great influencer. And there's lots of really capable ones out there that make lots of money influencing people one way or the other. But he is the great influencer. Do you ever have a prompting from the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, who is with us today, is the one who should be influencing us as believers. How? By his prophetic word, the word of God. How else? By how he moves on our hearts and our minds and our spirits. How he knits together with our spirits to grow, to exist like what? To exist in him, to live in him, breathe in him. Every breath that we have, every breath we take is from him. To know this with such a excitement that we spread this. And then he says in verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is Peter now. He was there. He was there at the crucifixion. He was there in the garden. He was there at the Last Supper going backwards. And then going forwards, he was there at the side of the sea when he saw Jesus after his return and the confrontation that he had with Jesus. He was there. He was an eyewitness to the majesty of Christ. Verse 17 says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was there. Where did that take place? On the Mount of Transfiguration it took place. And he saw it. And then they were so excited when they saw it. Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Should we set up three tables for you guys? And the answer was no. It's not about the three guys. It's about the one guy. I just, believe me, this didn't come from me. This was given to me. Thank you, Sally. It was the one guy that's to be worshiped. It's the one guy that's to be glorified. The exciting thing was Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. The other guys were servants to him. Thank you. And what does God say? He said, with the three standing there, he said, this one is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This one. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness. And this is where the whole thing comes together. That you heed the word, that you become the light in the darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He is the light who shines through men. And we are called to be light as he is light. And we can only do that with him in us. You see, he's influenced us from the beginning to have an impact. And the impact comes when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us. When the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us and God fills us with the knowledge of who he is, we are now ready to step forth. Pastor James, you can come on up. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Sometimes you'll share the truth with somebody, and you're looking at somebody that's got glazed eyes. They don't get it. They don't see it. They don't want to see it. The hunger is not in their heart. But you being faithful have gone to that person. Why did you go to them? Because you see it. You see it. You operate out of obedience. You operate out of the love of God for a soul that he desperately loves. but darkness can't comprehend it on its own. It needs help to understand it. The Holy Spirit is part of that help. The Word of God, those are the two areas. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are what reveal Jesus to the world today. Matthew 5:16 says, "So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Remember when I was talking about virtue and knowledge and all those other things? Remember I was talking about that? Put those things in you. Put His Word in you. When you put those things in you, they will come out of you. The work is done before you started because He dwells in you. Then you listen. And you learn to listen. And you learn to hear. What do you need to hear? The voice of God speaking to you. Some hear it the moment they read it. Some hear it audibly because He's so in them by His Spirit and by His Word. And then we respond. In this day, when I say we're called to pray, it's because I believe God is ready to do the miraculous through us. And the greatest miracle there is the changing of a human heart to a spiritual heart. That is the greatest miracle of all. When we change somebody from death to life spiritually, and people are going to come in so hungry because the world is so devastating and they've been beat up and kicked around by it, but they will come asking, "What do you have here for me?" We say, "I have this for you. I have the light of the world for you. I have the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that the statement that the faith is built upon, that Peter was able to say, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' I have Him." I think that's what you need. As I listen to all your stuff, I'm processing it. And as I see it, yeah, that's it. That's what you need. You need Christ. Oh, this was an easy one. "But doctor, my leg's broken." Yeah, your leg's broken, but you need Christ. "My life's falling apart." I know. Lives are falling apart, but you need Christ. "I just lost somebody I love very much." I know. We have lost people we love so very much, but this is what you need. You need Christ. You need Christ. And people will want to hear what you have to say because they see the living God dwelling in you. You look different because you are different. You think different because you are different. You're just a freak for Christ because we are so different, but there is something that's alluring. We are bait in a pond, man. And they'll come to us. And we have to just be ready to give them what God tells us to give them. We need to be influencers. And we need to influence them to the point of impact. And the point of impact is the point when they come to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Romans 8:29. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren." Here's what we're supposed to be. Operating in the image of God, not just physically, but body, soul, and spirit is the full image of God. That's how we're supposed to be conducting our lives. We need to be in order, body, soul, and spirit. Conform to that image, conform to that character, conform to that purpose for the glory of God. Why? Because God created us for this. Genesis 1:27b says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." What is the image of God? Body, soul, and spirit is the image of God. We all have a body. Jesus Christ was the body. We all have a soul. I'm going to get messed up here. Is God the soul or is God the spirit? But you get it. The Trinity is the fullness of that statement. And we have the Trinity in us. And all three are working to show one another to us. The Father speaks. He speaks by the breath of the Spirit. And the words He speaks are the Son. What a beautiful picture of what we have in us when we come to Christ. you don't know Christ, I just put this out there right now. You can receive him right now. You could start at square one, where you just become a child of God, not knowing anything other than what you heard today. If you've never received Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus, really your path is a direct route to hell. It's with the wide road you're taking, which leads to destruction. But if you receive Christ, those who have him, we're on the narrow road, which leads to everlasting life. He makes it really clear in the Gospels. Wide, narrow road. Salvation comes from Christ because it's what he did for us, not what we did. I still make mistakes. I still screw up. I regret it. I try to change it, and I change some things, and some things I don't change so quick. Doesn't matter. I'm his child. Because I said, Jesus, come in. I receive all of you. All that you have for me, I receive it. If you've never done that before, just raise your hand right now and we'll all pray. The whole room will pray for you. Is there anybody who wants to receive Jesus today? Are we all believers here? We all know who God is, who Jesus is? All right. If it's too hard to raise your hand, sometime today, just talk to him. Preferably with your family not around. They'll laugh at you. But just talk to him, say, God, I don't know all this, but I know that I'm supposed to have you. And I'm going to say you do that today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do it right then and there at home. But really, the heart's call today, salvations are always a call, but it's for us, the church, to become the influencers in our families, in our places of work. In this world, we're to be the influencers as led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the greatest of influencers. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you want more of that. If you say, I need to step up and become an influencer, that I impact lives for the glory of God. I want to influence people in this direction instead of the ways I've been influencing them negatively. Oh, that's great. If you have a hard time standing, just you can raise your hand right where you're at. You can say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, oh Holy Spirit, come and lead me in the direction you want me, in the way you want me, for your purposes, and for my glory, God's glory. For God's glory, Jesus. I pray right now for every person that just said that simple prayer, that God, you'd begin to point them in the direction that you'd have them go. That you began to fill them in the areas of their life that are unfulfilled. That you begin to speak to them in ways that they've never heard you speak to them before, right from his mouth to their heart. I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray that you steer us towards your precious word, that we grow in it more and more and more. And for this congregation, Father, I pray that each one is prompted to pray differently than what they've prayed before, to pray regularly within their homes, and to come together and pray corporately. I pray that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, show us when we're supposed to be here. Show us how long we're supposed to be here. Show us and tell us when we're supposed to get on our knees at home. Show us and tell us when we're supposed to cry out to you. Show us and tell us when we're supposed to glorify you. Lord, guide us every step of the way in this direction that you're giving us. I pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do. Do you have a song where they don't have to sing?
Where they don't have to sing?
Where they don't have to sing. I don't want them singing. I want to hear them right now. I want to hear you.
Oh.
And then what I want you to do is ignore him and just go shake somebody's hand and say, find one person and say, I'm going to be praying for you that you get the things you prayed for today. Take 2 minutes to do this. I'm going to listen to him.